God is the atmosphere of heaven like oxygen is the atmosphere of earth. And I've not allowed it to come in, and many people seem to think that, you know, God can do what he likes. Well, actually, he can't do what he likes. He can only do what we're willing to cooperate with him. And there's been a resistance by me, there's been a resistance by many people, men and women of God. But I can't take responsibility for their actions. I can only now, as the pastor of this church on Sunday morning, repent for my holding back, for my own fears, my own insecurities, my own need to be accepted, my own need to be almost part of this community in a sense of a respected member of this community. But I can't do that anymore. There's a call of God upon my life, like there's a call of God upon your life. And we will never fulfill it by the American dream. And all of you know that I think this nation is the greatest country in the world. We will never fulfill it by being culturally relative or sensitive to people's feelings who are in the flesh. It is impossible to please people. When Paul was saved on the Damascus Road, Jesus said to him, "Arise and stand upon your feet, for I have called you for this purpose, to be a witness and a minister of the things that you have seen and the things that I will reveal unto you. And I will send you, and I've set you free from the Jews and the Gentiles, to whom I am now sending you." And the only true freedom in this world, the only time you know that you have no bondage, is when you can stand before men and not be touched by their opinion. Now, I'm not saying I don't care what you think. I do care what you think. But what I'm saying, Paul was very clear in the book of Galatians. If I please men, I cannot be pleasing God. If I please men, I cannot be pleasing God. So therefore, many people have not known what's been going on in this house for the last 5 weeks. Many people have been offended. Some people have turned away and walked in another direction, and they're completely free, and we thank God and we bless them, each and every one. But what I must say is that I have tasted the glory of God in my life. I have been visited by Jesus personally. I know what it's like to have washed his feet with my tears. And I'm not going to go anywhere else. I have another 20 years at least of serving God. And I cannot do it in the format of all the rigidity of formality. So I want to encourage everybody today that I hope this is being clearly and loudly recorded. That from here on in, we are going to press into the kingdom of God. We are going to let the glory of God flow in this house. We're going to let the glory of God fall in this house, because in the glory, it brings an ease. In the glory, people can be touched, they can be ministered to. Now, and also, when there's freedom, there's also some flakiness. So I also need to warn you, the Bible says in Colossians, "In we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect, mature in Christ." But I also want to say that there will be correction if there's a lot of I've always said I'd rather train a wild horse than raise a dead donkey. So what we're going to do now is we're going to start training wild horses. If you get offended because we correct you about what you're doing in the spirit or in the flesh, then possibly you won't be able to stick around very long. But the point is that I have 30 years experience in the kingdom of God. I have 30 years experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I preached in 45 countries and in over 300 to 400 churches. I've been called a prophet by hundreds of pastors and thousands of people. I'm no longer going to apologize for it. I'm no longer going to hold back and have one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. Yes, I am a pastor also and a teacher. And there's an apostolic call upon my life. If this is foreign to you, please ask questions. But I'm saying this because from here on in, we have to go forward in what I believe God wants to bring a glory to our nation. This isn't about this church. This is about not just Kingston. He wants to bring a glory. The Bible says the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We thank God for that. So I want to encourage you where Jesus said in John 17, I have given you my glory, that you may be one, even as my Father and I are one. The reason is there's been a glory for eternity to eternity. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, because the flesh does not know the glory of God. The flesh does not know the kingdom of God. This is why we must be people who know what the difference is between the spirit and the flesh. I know I get in the flesh. I know I get snappy with people. That's my flesh. But in my spirit is the glory of God. And I want to release the glory of God. And Steve and I and many other of the leaders, all of our leaders in this house, are in 100% agreement with what is going on. Will there be mistakes? Yes, there will be mistakes. Will there be errors? Yes, there will be. But we will do everything within our power and experience to correct those mistakes so that we can keep going forward. Was there mistakes in the early church? Just read the book of Corinthians. The first 14 chapters is correcting mistakes. Only the gospel is preached in chapter 15 of the book of Corinthians. Because up till then, it's all you're doing this wrong, that wrong, this wrong, that wrong. Everything's wrong. You've got it wrong. But the second book of Corinthians is a glorious book. Because he says, I've got nothing but confidence in you. So I'm saying that because if you're not prepared to take a chance, if you're not prepared to walk in a little bit of fog or a little bit of mist on a beautiful spring morning when the fog is just hanging over the earth and you can't see very well, but you know that the sun is rising. The Bible says the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. That's what he wants to do. And that's what I'm going for. That is where we are going. Are we still a community of compassion and character? The vision statement has not changed, but we had to add something to it. That we are building a community of compassion and character to reach the world. So we want to put that on the end. We are expecting people to go to the nations. We are expecting people to go to the highways. We are expecting people to go to the marketplace and touch people who are lost and go into a Christless hell. There is a hell, let us never forget it. But let's understand it's the atmosphere of heaven that brings us into a place of desire to reach the lost. So this morning, let it go on record. We are no longer going to be sensitive to what everybody's feelings are. To some people that are coming and not know what's going on, probably. Well, then I ask the congregation to be with those people and explain a little. Have you ever been in a service like this before? Do you understand that when the glory fell in the temple, the ministers couldn't stand? That's why these people are on the floor. You ever just simply explain to them when they came for Jesus in the garden, said, I am he. They fell on the floor just like these people here. That when John the Revelator heard that voice behind him and turned around to see who it was, he fell on his face as if dead. And it was Jesus who he walked the earth with. But it was the presence of God touched him so strong, he fell on the floor. There are many strange things. In our flesh, we are very limited. But in our spirit, we communicate with the creator of heaven and earth. And all you've got to do is look at this creation and try and tell me that church has to be limited and boring and dry. We cannot do it anymore. We will not go back to the way we were. I will leave this church before we do that. I will go back to Africa and preach myself into a grave. But I will not go back. I must keep moving forward. And today I'm saying anybody who's interested in going higher, that is what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying. We've got to go on, church. We've got to go on. Steve begins to speak to the people who are watching on webcast like they are this morning. And there's a half an hour delay in it. And sure enough, there was a person who had an accident. And one side of their face was paralyzed. And they got healed instantly while they were watching on webcast. Tears. There's no death. That is the atmosphere, the kingdom of heaven, the atmosphere of the glory of God is where all those things begin to get dealt with. This is why we must touch into that. And when we begin to go into that realm, we were part of sending 22 tons of food to starving Zimbabwe this week. We were. Amen. Now, Tuesday night fire school, we raised $3,523 to ship 22 tons of food. The people in that country, 94% unemployment. At the moment, their monetary system is completely collapsed. You cannot use their money in that country anymore. You can only buy with dollars or foreign currency. Six million of the 15 million people in that country have left the country. 7 of the 9 million remaining are all malnourished. But we were able from this place to send forth some relief to those people, to the churches, praise God, in Zimbabwe. So I want to keep encouraging you that these things are happening. People are still getting healed, touched, set free. We got an invitation to go to Jamaica. I mentioned it to one young couple. They're already on it. It's already out of my hands to do a VBS in July. They want to run with it. They want to take people down here. I was told 300 young children will be at this VBS in Jamaica. There's another guy who wants to run a team this summer to Guatemala. We know that there are people from this church going to Angola. We're planning trips to Zambia. I'm taking a team to Zambia in September. Josh and Elaine have been invited to visit Pastor Andy Holmes' church in England. Of course, we're planning a trip at the end of the year or the beginning of next year to Orissa in India. All these things are happening, as well as people around the place getting touched, getting saved, getting healed, getting set free. Because that's what God wants to do. We have to yield. Remember the Bible says you become a servant to whoever you yield your members to obey. So the more you yield yourself to the Spirit of God, the more you receive. So we need to. Last night was undeniably.
Yeah.
You were here. Thanks, guys. Last night, I would say, possibly was the greatest outbreak, epidemic. What's a better word? Of spontaneous praise I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Woo! What was that? Did you push me? Somebody's there, but I can't see them. And I think I'll get off this step. Feels a little better, but not much. I think they're still pushing this day. They're trying to say something. They haven't got big feet. They haven't got forward easy. Oh, hallelujah. Stop agreeing with them, whoever's agreeing. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, these men are not drunk as you suppose. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The lights, have we paid the electric bill this week?
Um,
you should take an offering. Oh yeah, it's Sunday. That's what we do on Sunday, we take tithes and offerings. Last night was the greatest outbreak of spontaneous praise I've ever seen in my life. And it went on, and it was so awesome that I thought the best part of the meeting, Daniel, have we got that part ready to show the best part of the meeting last night? See if you got it up there. This is for those who are not informed of what great things are happening in our church. This is not actually live, it's a...
I'll be honest, fellas, it sounded great, but I could have used a little more cowbell.
The last time I checked, we don't have a whole lot of songs that feature the cowbell.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell, more cowbell, more cowbell, more cowbell.
Those of you who don't know what more cowbell's about, that's more cowbell. Us in SNL, Saturday Night Life, which is the name of our Saturday night. Anyway, praise God. What happened when I left? I left here at 10:45 and then it all happened.
It kept
yeah, I heard. I heard it was just... It didn't need me, I know that, mate. Well, after 10:45, I just had to go home. And let me encourage you. We did talk about the offering. We do receive our tithes and offerings on Sundays. Let me tell you something now about sowing. It's so plain. Sometimes I get tired of telling my own testimony. I'll be honest with you. But the scripture says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. So there are certain things I have in my spirit and in the realm of faith that I can give to people if they want it. One of them is a revelation of God's provision. I have a very strong revelation of God's provision. And one of the things is this. Galatians very clearly says this. God is not mocked. The last time God was mocked was on the cross. Do you remember that? He was mocked. Oh, if you're the Son of God, come down. Can you imagine? It's really hard to handle that kind of comment. Well, not only are you the Son of God, but you actually created everything that this guy's looking at. And so they're mocking him. And that was the last time that God was ever mocked. Because Jesus died for our mocking. So, but the scripture says in the book of Galatians, God is not mocked. For whatever you sow, that you shall also reap. You see, too many people miss the that you shall also reap. Just to tell you a story quickly, what happened last night is yesterday morning, I was supposed to be here for the school. The phone rang at 8:05. I'm in my dressing gown having breakfast. And our phone's broken, couldn't find it. And so Wendy says, It's in the lounge. So I ran in the lounge, couldn't find the phone. She says, it's behind the couch. Why? I ain't sure. But that's where it was. So I dove behind the couch, picked up the phone, and on the other end was Pastor Jerome Halstead. Does anybody know Pastor Jerome? And he just simply said, where are you? I said, behind the couch. Now, I thought I was going to speak at his men's breakfast next Saturday, but it was yesterday. So my calendar for next Saturday. And so I said, I'll be there in half an hour. So I ran, threw a shirt on and jumped in my car. Anyway, went up there, had the most awesome. I was so fired up, I can't tell you. There were bodies everywhere. We were prophesying over people, laying hands on them. And the beautiful thing, there were two guys there, just got saved that week. And they're standing there watching this. And you're laying hands on and go, boom. And I'm at boom. And I said, actually, what's happening is when the Holy Spirit came in the temple, and I'm explaining, and then turning back and laying hands on stuff, boom, they're going down. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And afterwards, there's 30 men. There's 30 men, and Jerome said, come on, we need to receive an offering for Vaughan. And he handed me the check. I put it in my pocket. And then about half an hour later, I'm just driving out of town. And I thought, oh, what did those guys do? I took the check out. There was a check for $1,000. $1,000. So I immediately got on the phone, phoned him up and said, Holstead, what? What are you doing giving me $1,000? I nagged him. You really got to know guys well to do things like that. And he said, just sowing seed, brother. Just sowing seed, brother. See, he knows I'm good ground. So he wants to put a good seed into good ground. Now, let me tell you something about when you sow. Ask any farmer. The scripture says this very clearly, 1 Corinthians 3. Paul sows, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. Are you with me there? Paul sows, Apollos, he's another apostle of God, waters, but God gives the increase. Now, God wants to increase every one of us, but he can't increase what isn't sown. The scripture is very plain. It says, if you sow sparingly, you shall also reap sparingly. Somebody has been very lovingly and kindly telling me how tired I look. I feel like giving them the Winston Churchill. You ever hear the Winston Churchill answer? You ever hear that? Some woman said to him once, I remember it was Lady Astor, she said, sir, you're drunk. He said, woman, you're ugly. And tomorrow I'll be sober. Isn't that funny? I thought it was funny. So don't go insulting me. You never know what might come back. It would definitely be my flesh. So after I was told how tired I was, I thought, why is that? Because all through the revival, I hadn't been tired. I went to India for 12 days, didn't get to bed for 5 nights of them, and didn't feel tired. So I knew this, and then I realized I've gone to the gym for the last 5 days. And so I'm still sowing. I haven't had my energy harvest. Can somebody hear what I'm saying today? I'm still sowing, so I'm tired from the sowing because God hasn't given me the increase yet. Because it takes more than a week to reap my exercise. Is anybody listening to me? That's why people don't understand giving doesn't come back next week. Mind you, you can sow a seed of something that grows quickly, like bamboo, and it'll come back quickly. But if you sow a seed of oak, and the Bible likens righteousness to oak, then it takes time to mature and grow. Are you with me? So this is why we need to understand that for your future, and I keep saying this again and again and again, why are Wendy and I living a debt-free life? It's because we had nothing from 1979 when we got saved from 1979 to 1996. For 18 years, we owned and possessed nothing. We drove cars that were given to us. We never had anything that was called our own. We never bought any new furniture. We never had any of that for all those years because every single penny that was given to us, and I'm talking about thousands, we kept sowing it. You know the biggest seed I ever gave away was a church worth $500,000. Well, I want to tell you something. I've only began to reap that harvest. Is somebody listening to me today? This is why your tithes, why people don't tithe is a great mystery to me. I'm tired of talking about it, to be honest. Your tithes and your offerings are an essential part Not only does it finance the kingdom, not only does it give other people a reason to give thanks, it goes, according to Philippians 4, on your account. On your account. That's what it actually says in the book of Philippians. It goes on your account. Where, do you think the banks invented the word account? It's a God word. It's a God word. And every now and then, I ask the Lord, so how's my account doing? Ah, I'm loaded. Loaded. I don't mean a baked potato that's loaded with sour cream. I mean, I'm loaded because Wendy and I have sown thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for years. And now, guess what? I can't beat the money off with a stick. I'm actually not trying to. And I just want to encourage you, young people, if you haven't learned to give yet, if you don't believe me, I ain't going to answer that one. I'm going to be sober in the morning. So let's receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Let's just understand that we don't just, our tithes go towards paying for this building, all of our needs, all of our salaries, plus we give every month to Overland Missions, every month to the Orphan Village, every month we are giving money and food out of this ministry to this community and the nations of the world. So Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Lord, for blessing us according to what we give. Blessing us according to what we give. And Lord, I bless you and thank you for everybody in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, ushers. Thank you, congregation. I knew an Indian lady in Zambia. Have you ever heard the polite prayer for offerings? See, these are things that I haven't been sharing for fear of people's faces. That's one of them mornings. Oh, God. This Indian lady that I knew in Zambia, she made great curry.
Really?
Oh, mate, it was good. She used to pray. I saw her pray over an offering once, and forgive me, I'm not mocking the Indians. I'm just doing to give you an idea what she sounded like. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this offering today. Lord, and bless everybody who gives, and rebuke everybody who doesn't give. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've never heard that before, but I thought it was pretty interesting. The Bible does say, do not appear empty-handed before God in Zion, but that's just one verse that comes to me at the moment. I want to speak this morning, I want to start in Hebrews chapter 2. If ever there's a time for me to ask a congregation to trust the leadership, to trust me as the lead pastor of this church, to trust Steve, who's moved to this community, to be part of what God's doing here in Kingston Fire, and to see the move of God to grow and develop, to bring revival. It's a case, so much of it has to do with trust in me. And so right now what's happening in my life is I've got to look for another place in God. I've got to go higher, like I've already been saying. If you're satisfied with your Christianity, then I want to know how come you don't have my job. I'm serious. If you're satisfied with your Christianity, then you should be doing my job. And I'm not satisfied with my Christianity, so I'm just moving forward because I'm hungry. Yeah, brother. Xavier's hungry. He's been saved, what now, about 6 or 7 weeks, brother? The guy's a nut for Jesus. I'm going to read from a book that was written by a great woman of God about the glory of God. And I want you to just hear this, please. It says, God showed me that there is no death. Excuse me. Hallelujah. God showed me that if there is no death working in me, if there's no bitterness, no strife, no criticism, that is nothing of death. Let me read it again. If there's no bitterness, no strife, no criticism, I'm going to go one more. No unforgiveness. These are all aspects of death. I can command death. If death is working in me, I have no authority over death. If only life is flowing through me, I have an authority over death, and I can command death in the name of the Lord Jesus. We must move in the resurrection power of God as we live in the glory realm, and we will see the miraculous such as the world has never known. Did everybody hear that?
Yes.
You see, let's get back to the first miracle of the church. Obviously, it was the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people got saved. But the next known miracle was when Peter and John were walking into Gate Beautiful, and the crippled man was there and had been there for many years. And he turned to them and said, "Look on us." And that is the confidence of men and women of God. And he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Such as I have, I give unto you." You see, if you have death working in you, then you have no authority over life. If you are being critical, if you have envy, you have strife, if you have a root of bitterness, you can't have authority over life, because they are all the fruits of death. So it's so important for us to understand that we must move in life, because we've been given life. Now, the issue here is Jesus said, "He who believes in me will never die." Jesus said, "The words that I speak are spirit and life." That life is what defeats death. When there's death working in you, you have no power. Who was it who did not inherit the promised land? The people who said, "We can't do it." Have you ever heard the scripture that talks about the evil heart of unbelief? The New Testament calls unbelief evil. The New Testament says all that is unrighteous is sin. So therefore, I'd like to encourage you that you may be doing nothing wrong, but if you're in unbelief, it's just as bad as if you were doing something wrong. Are we okay? This isn't the sin of omission that you've been whacked with for condemnation for many years. This is a reality that unbelief is death. Unbelief is death. There's only one sin that sends people to hell. It isn't fornication, adultery, homosexuality, murder. It's unbelief. It's unbelief. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you won't be. I mean, that ain't rocket science, guys. I never did work for NASA. But can you hear what I'm saying? Unbelief is death. And it is unbelief that is the issue. Why couldn't you cast this demon out? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. See, the worst thing a Christian can ever do is think they don't have any unbelief. I have unbelief, and I want to deal with it. I want to get rid of it. And I can't get rid of it by trying to find my unbelief and nailing it. Now, I want to say this. Let's change the word unbelief, because I believe there's only two words. Like there's believe and unbelief, there's only two words. That is faith and fear. There's no other word. There's no faith, fear, and You see, if you don't believe in faith, you're double-minded. So you're unstable. So I want to encourage you to think about this. That if death is working in me, how can I take authority over sickness, over pain, over people's hurts, whether it be a broken heart, whether it be a broken soul, whether it be a broken body? How can I take authority over the fact that they're feeling condemned? Because I myself have death working in me, therefore I can't take authority over it. And God wants us to come into a place of the glory of God where we can see nothing but Jesus. Because when you see him, you will be like him. And it's a very important place. This is why praise and worship and glory is so important. This isn't warm-up for the sermon. Hallelujah. It isn't. Most churches, we've done that in the past, and we've repented of that, so let's move on. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, I know what I'm trying to explain, but I don't know how to get this across. And most of us, we can't get this in one go, because otherwise I'd know how to explain it in one go. Hebrews 2, beginning in verse 14, says this. Inasmuch then, Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now it clearly says here that the fear of death is what keeps us in bondage. Now if you understand this, this is not saying that those who all their life through the fear of death have been subject through the bondage of the fear of death. It's saying that those who through the fear of death have been subject to bondage. Any kind of bondage. If you have an addictive personality, it's bondage. If you have a codependent attitude, it's bondage. If you're negative, come and help me, folks. It's bondage. Negative people can't inherit the promise. The children of Israel that said we're just grasshoppers in our own sight, we can't do it, were in bondage, and they never received the promise. If there's anything in your life, which there is in all of our lives, that you haven't yet broken through in the victory, it's rooted in the fear of death. It's rooted in the fear of death. Why do you become a men pleaser? Ladies, I don't know why, I just feel in my spirit to say this, and I hate to say this. Go to my safe, Lord. Yeah. Do all the ladies understand that part of the curse, oh Jesus, is to be dependent on men? Do you understand that? Are we okay? We know that script. I'm getting some nods from the ladies who know the word. When God cursed Adam and Eve, he said, Your desire will be towards your husband. In other words, what it's done is it's made all women, God, I wish I hadn't brought this up, but here we go. It's made us codependent on men, and the men know it because they're under a curse too, and they abuse it, and bam, there's the hurt, there's the rejection, there's the pain, there's the separation. All right, rejection, pain, separation, what word is that in biblical terms? Death. If you eat of that tree, you're going to die. If you disobey me, you are going to be separated from me. Just everybody now get the word in their thinking. The word death means separation. The word death means separation. When you're sick, there's death working in you. You're separated from health. Right? When you're feeling rejected, there's death working in you. You're separated from acceptance. When you're feeling depressed, there's death working in you. You're separated from joy. Don't know what your problem is in life. It's separation. You're downcast, you're miserable, you're upset, you feel lonely, you feel unwanted, you feel useless, you feel condemned, you feel guilty, you feel shamed. It's all death. Are we okay? It's making sense to me. But I only got this yesterday, so help me, it's a little raw. If you like the steaks very well done, then come back in a couple of weeks, maybe I'll get it better. I tried to talk about this last night. I couldn't get it out. I talked about something else. I don't know where the heck I went. Oh, do we say that? Yeah, we say it. Yeah. So what is your problem? Jealousy. Death. That's death. Envy. That's death. Strife. That's definitely death. Gossip. That's death. Help me. Complaining. Jealousy. Death. Whining. It's amazing how gossip can come in all kinds of packages. Go ahead. What else is death? Arguing. Ooh, the devil's the lord of the argument, girl. Bitterness. That's death. Poverty. Poverty. Oh, slander. Thank you. Poverty. Let's go there. I forgot about that one. How did I miss that sucker? Poverty is a fear of death. It's the fear of, I know you won't think this, starving to death. It's the fear of being homeless. It's the fear of being put out. It's the fear of embarrassment. It's the fear, all that is all rooted in poverty, which is a form of death. Because God wants to, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory, in the glory. You see how the glory brings riches to you. Why do you think the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it? You can't tell me a job that gives you that. I was at the gym just yesterday. I met a guy, said that. He said, oh, well, now I'm ready to face the day. I thought, it's 12 o'clock. You know, you start work late. God knows what I was doing in that time of day. My boss is pretty lenient in my time. I said, oh, well, what job do you do? He said, no, I just got laid off from some company that starts with three initials. And used to be quite famous in Kingston, but they quit on us too. And I said, oh, okay. He said, were you with them long? He said, yeah, 34 years. And for 34 years, they said, thank you very much. Out! You see, there is no security in the finances of this world. And if you're still relying on your 401k, if you're still relying on your Roth IRAs, and if you're still relying on what Wall Street is doing, then all I can say is, please, you trust in the flesh. It ain't going to happen. I mean, I've had Roth IRAs too. I've lost thousands, but, you know, and? So it didn't stop me from giving. So I want to encourage you. I want you to get this. Every problem you have with your children is death is involved. Every problem children have with their parents, death is involved. You're afraid of losing their love. Oh, God, this is why people have no idea how to raise their children. This is why they let their children rule their house. It's because instead of giving them a good hiding, they try and persuade them so they won't lose their love. That is death. That's death. And all these things, it brings bondage. Fussing over people. God, mate. All right. Are we getting the point? Because I think I'm beginning to. Let me read it again. Hebrews 2:14. Inasmuch then, that as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, have a nice trip there, share. I know you're driving to Elmira. Just everybody else doesn't, so trying to sneak out in this church is not easy. Give my love to Whitney. Inasmuch then that as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same flesh and blood, so he knows everything you're going through, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of separating you from God, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of separation were all their lives subject to every demonic bondage, flesh bondage, spiritual, mental bondage this world can throw at you. Okay. Now, let's go to my favorite verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to take about another 20 minutes, folks. And if I'm boring, that's wonderful. I had to go at a young man yesterday for yawning while I was speaking. said, if you're going to yawn, stand up and take some deep breaths. But don't you yawn while I'm talking. Ain't that boring? It's called confidence, guys. You've got to believe that you've got a gift and you can do what something great in God. You all can. You all can. You all can. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 6. Therefore I remind you. Somebody say, remind us, Vaughn.
Remind us, Vaughn.
Somebody else say, remind us, Vaughn.
Remind us, Vaughn.
To stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Can some of you realize that you don't get all your gifts directly sometimes? You actually get them sometimes from people who lay hands on you? Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9, this is the verse that's going to be on my tombstone. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. But let's move on. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. Who has abolished death. Do you realize that Jesus has abolished death? It actually doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist. He's abolished it, isn't it? Isn't it written there? He's abolished it. He who believes in me will never die. You'll never have that feeling of being separated. That will never happen. God has abolished death through Jesus Christ. Now, if you're feeling death, it's because we haven't allowed, I'm going to read the next answer, we haven't allowed the answer to come to us. One of the things I'm going to say right now, one of the hardest things for a pastor or any man or woman of God to get through to people is when the person is suffering from a self-pity spirit. Now, there are some self-pity spirits in this room right now. Don't worry, I won't point. I could, but I won't. I suffer from self-pity. That when people leave the church and don't say anything, they've been coming to the church for 3, 4, 5, 6 years and just go. How do you think that makes me feel? It makes me feel really good. You say, well, you mustn't take it personal. Really? You should try pastoring the church one day and then come and tell me that. Mothers, can you imagine cooking Thanksgiving dinner? Then your children don't show up and don't bother to tell you. Okay, now I got a nod from a few mums. Now they understand a little bit about what it's like to be a pastor, just a little bit. And so these things, and then what happens on Sunday night, I go to bed and the Prince and Power of the Air begins to speak to my head, begins to talk into me. And the fear of death comes upon me. The separation feeling comes upon me. All right? So I know what it's like to have. Now what happens is tough guys fight it off. Tough guys, oh, I don't care, you lying dog. I know you do. I know you do. Because you have a heart of compassion because Jesus gave it to you. Therefore, what you're doing to hide the pain is be tough. Where do you think anger comes from? Fear of death. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are we getting this tonight?
Yes.
You're thinking naturally. So, any form of problem in your life is rooted in bondage, which is the fruit of the fear of death. And Jesus has abolished that. It doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. So when, why do you think the Bible says you've forgotten your first love? Do anybody remember when you first got saved? Does anybody remember that feeling? Some of you crept into it. Others came in here like me, like a bam. And so that feeling, you know, when I go back to that ancient landmark, remember when they crossed over the Jordan and they built an altar there? They said, if ever you forget, just go back to there. Just go back to that point of reference. See, now this move of God has been coming in our church. I have a point of reference. I remember that happened to me in Jerusalem. That happened to me in camp meetings I've been to. That happened to me in the barn I used to have up there in Lexington. That happened to me. I've seen that before. I've seen that before. I've seen that before. It's just all coming at once now. Hallelujah. And the thing is, I've got a point of reference because I have that first love. And what happens is whenever you're beginning to feel miserable, depressed, down, yada, 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 it's because you've forgotten your first love, because in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Amen. And all that goes away. It's actually gone. But, like I just said, I want to remind you, the devil reminds you every day of how lousy your life is. And gives you the reasons. And they're all valid. Because he has history and references of it. You think we invented the movie camera? The devil invented it. No, he didn't. He's never created anything. But did you hear that quick correction? He's not a creator. The devil is not a creator. He's not a creator. Praise God. All right. This is a slow, but I'm groping myself to try and get this here. Verse 10, 2 Timothy 1:10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, where is life and immortality? It isn't something that's just floating around out there. It's something that's been brought to light by the good news. This is why I want to encourage you. You will never successfully achieve a long-term move of God in your life if you don't take time to read the gospel. I promise you. When Peter was there in Cornelius' house, it says that as he spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell. You see, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit by reading the word. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit by praise and worship. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit by prayer, like they were in Acts chapter 4. But you must be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. And I want to encourage you, the more you know the gospel, the more when the Prince of Power of the Air speaks to you, you can do what Jesus always and only did when the Prince and the Power of the Air came to him face to face and say, it is written. Until you know what's written, how can the Holy Spirit hover over the word waiting for you to say what you don't know to say? See, people argue about what's going on in the spirit here. People argue about, what about this and what about that, what about that? Just come talk to me, because what about me has got scriptures for it. Now, I earlier said I don't want to pull rank, but for once, I am pulling rank. Don't argue with me about the word. Now, you can come to me and say, Vaughan, what about this and what about that? So, oh, that's a good point. Well, that probably applies to this situation, you know, those times. And I've done that, I can sit with you all day long. But when people think that they know what God is doing, and yet they've got... I had a guy come to me Saturday night, started arguing with me. So I looked at him and said, well, show me your faith. The argument stopped. I said, just show it to me. You know, and that sounds a little arrogant, but I'll be honest with you, I don't have a lot of time for people who are trying to correct me out of their opinion. who are trying to correct me out of their feelings, who are trying to correct me out of their strife, who are trying to correct me even out of their own pain. If you don't understand, talk to me all day long. But when you try and correct me over something, you know, I wouldn't dream of going to Cliff and start arguing with him about computers. I wouldn't dream to go to Elaine and start arguing about, well, you know, I think that's the wrong key. I think you're using the wrong progression there. I don't even know what the heck that is. I wouldn't dream about arguing with any of you about what you do for a living and how you, and now I'm not saying I couldn't go and say, Elaine, I don't like that key. Is it too, what, do you know what? And I can say, can we get a little more something, you know? And I don't know what I'm saying because I want some understanding. But all I'm trying to say to you is this, is that life and immortality is brought to light through the gospel. And this is why it is so important. This is why every move of God, we cannot shortcut the word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. So that's why I'm encouraging you. Now let me just try and wrap this up with one more scripture. He brought life and immortality to light through the scripture, through the gospel. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's funny. Steve now has planted, I don't know, how many churches you planted, Steve, personally? Five. You know, I never argue with my wife about cooking. It's something. I might sidle up to her sometime when she's like something else when she's in the kitchen. Talk about in a zone. You know, people come around, there's like 15 people in the house. Anybody hungry? Oh, and then 15 minutes later, there's a feast. And everyone's going, how did you do that? Okay, well, trust me, she started cooking for her family when she was 11 years old, and by now, she's really got the hang of some stuff. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Like I said, listen, if there's a few things that we don't know always what's going on, remember the Corinthian church, apart from 1 Corinthians 13, but even that was a correction. Every single chapter of 1 Corinthians 1 through 14 was a rebuke. Read it again. He criticized them for their attitude, the way they're following men, for the way they're giving, the way they're doing communion, for about their marriages. About he corrected them about the whole shooting match. And then in chapter 15, he preached the gospel. And then preachers used this gospel for funerals. Oh, mate. All right, let's go with verse 50. I don't have time for that. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This is what happens when you don't feel right about what's happening, is because you are comparing flesh with spirit. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says we must compare spiritual things with spiritual, for the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him. Do you see what I'm saying? So say, oh, well, I don't feel good about that. Well, you're using your feelings, your flesh, that cannot inherit the kingdom of God, with spiritual things that can only be revealed by the gospel. So this is why we need to understand the Word of God, the Bible, is spiritual. If you read it naturally, this is why theologians sometimes, some of them aren't even saved. Somebody help me here. Have you ever argued with an unbeliever about the Bible? They can't understand anything. Because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness to him. This is why the Bible says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand. This is why it says the wisdom of this world is coming to nothing, because nobody can understand it. And that's why, you know, it's not really always a good thing. That's why when someone's arguing with you, demonstrate them something. Give them your testimony. Show them your faith. And that way, that's another story. Especially if you reach out like Sal the other day. Is Sal in here still? When Sal was praying for a guy, was he a guy you're working with, the guy in the truck you were talking about?
Somebody
he knew. Well, he knows every other person up and down this valley. And while he was talking to him, were you praying for him?
Well, we did.
Right, he started praying for him, and suddenly the guy goes, "What are you doing to me? What are you doing? It's getting hot in here. What's going on?" He starts lowering the window. "What are you doing to me?" Argue with that one, baby. You see what I'm saying? It was a demonstration of spirit and power. And so the guy couldn't argue with it. Now, the guy may not yet be, you know, the next evangelist, but he can't argue with that experience he had from a person who does believe. That's why we said that. I was preaching my preaching, not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and power, which I've got to go for. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Remember, everything that you can see, look around a minute. Everything you can see, now look at me, especially corrupted. What you see is corrupted. What you see began to die 30 years ago. I don't know much about biology, but I've been told that your body starts to die at about 28, 29, 30 years old. It begins to die. Corruptible. The outward man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. You see, the spirit man gets stronger and stronger the older you get, and the outer man gets weaker and weaker the older you get. That's why you can't compare natural things with spiritual things. Where is the death? In the natural man. Where is the life? In the spirit man. I don't know if this is any good or not, but I'm enjoying it. Verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Remember, this is corruption. This is why the Bible says we've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Aha. In a moment. How quickly? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Not a blink of an eye. Have any of you guys or girls ever looked in your loved one's eye and seen that twinkle? That inexpressible twinkle. Yeah, we still got that twinkle in our eyes, mate, I tell you. And it goes, oh, what was that? That was something that went from natural to supernatural. I'm telling you, that twinkle in the eye, something changes. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, where does immortality come from? The gospel. Life and immortality is brought to light through the gospel. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Yeah. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, how does God define victory? He defines it in 1 John chapter 4. This is the victory that overcomes this world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes this world? It says in 1 John 5. He who believes Jesus is the Son of God. I remember looking at Wendy one day in Lexington in the kitchen and saying, well, I believe that. This is the victory that overcomes this world. And every accusation and every need and every failure and every pain. This is the victory that overcomes this world, even our faith. And who is he that believes? And who is he that overcomes this world but he who believes Jesus is the Son of God? I say, well, I believe that. Yes. You see, and as soon as you're suffering pain, especially emotional, you're forgetting Jesus is the Son of God. Because right now, when you're suffering rejection, the one who rejected you, you believe that person is the Son of God. Now, I've never said that before, but I'm going to say it again. As soon as a loved one rejects you, you've elevated the love of that person above the love of God. As soon as your child says, I hate you, and you're dumb enough to believe it. Anyway, so I shouldn't have said that. Why people fall for that sucker punching beyond me, mate? I don't know why. Let me just say it again. You lose your job, you've elevated your company above Jesus Christ. I don't like to say this, but I'm going to say it. You go through a divorce, you've lost the victory. Nothing to swallow up the death. Nothing to swallow up the pain. You're sick. You have a report that you're going to die. One day, we'll get the revelation that this earth is pathetic compared with heaven. Boy, he said yes. And he's got it all in front of him. Did you hear what I'm saying? Marriage on this earth is pathetic compared with heaven. Children on this earth are pathetic compared with heaven. I know you're going to get mad at me, but I'm going to keep going. Every relationship on this world, fame, winning an Oscar, is pathetic compared with the crown of glory. Hallelujah. You see, and we put such precious values on this corruptible world, on this mortal world, that when we lose something, we think we've lost something. Something's died. That hasn't happened. Because the victory is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And so all I'm saying is whatever death is working in us, let the glory of God, let the victory of Jesus, let the life of God swallow it up. So, you know, whatever bondage you're in, it's all a lie, and it was broken 2,000 years ago. And so now we've got to find out, what is the answer to this bondage? Why am I still in this condition? It's because we're believing a lie. We're living in unbelief. We're not allowing God's victory through Jesus Christ to swallow up. Swallow it up. Even your sickness needs to be swallowed up in victory. So what we're going to do now is Steve would agree that he was going to just play something for me on the Joanna, as we used to call it, mate. And Xavier's going to move my pulpit for me. And Elaine's going to give me an Altoid. What a nice combination. You know what's really good about that? I didn't do anything then. They all did it. Anyway. And now we want to do this. I want to encourage you people that have struggled to come to the front. I know we say this almost every week. But there's something about the dynamic of coming forward, coming up. There's something about the dynamic of walking down, coming outside the insecurity. Let's face it, all of our insecurities are the fear of death. Every one of our insecurities, every bondage we have is because, you know, well, what happens if somebody looking at me? That means you're self-conscious and not Christ-conscious. If ever you feel embarrassed, it's because you're self-conscious. conscious. You are conscious of the corruptible. You are conscious of the mortal instead of allowing the immortality to swallow it up. That's how it goes away. It doesn't go away by taking the problem and hoping Jesus will take it. There's the problem, and the answer swallows it up. And that's what I invite you to this morning. We're just going to pray for people. We're just going to pray for them. I'm going to ask my wife to come back up. I want Elaine this morning to pray for people. I don't want her to do her little whatever those things are called. They're very necessary. Oh, hallelujah. Come up, Elaine. I want Sal to join me, and I want Bob to join me. Last night, Bob must have ministered for a couple of hours. I don't know. I left. How long is he? Nearly 2 hours. I want to thank God. Last night, Josh, Elaine's husband, began to speak and encourage people. He's got this revelation of grace that is just rocking his world and anybody who's listening to him. Have you been listening to what Josh has been saying? And he was the guy who didn't want to ever have a mic in his hand. So let's stand together today. And if you need to leave, please, you are dismissed. We thank God for you. We thank God for you. I want to encourage you. We do have a pastoral team in building, in process. We have 4 men that we have on the pastoral team. It's Gary Rich, Tony, and Josh. But we don't have all the answers yet. We don't know what the future of our small groups are. We don't know what the future of our women's meetings, men's meetings, everything else. We're asking you to be patient with us as we begin to redevelop and rebuild and listen to God for the future of our church. But we're just going to sing this song. And as we sing, please come forward, because we want to pray for you. Because you are blessed and we need to be filled.